TV party tonight.
Oh, we got nothing better to do than watch TV and have a couple of brews.
Don't want to talk about anything else.
We don't want to know.
We're dedicated, yes,
to our favorite shows.
Oh, Mike took it.
Everybody loves Hypnotoad.
Gary Dawg.
Blurfin at Blurnsville.
Futurama.
Good evening. You are listening to a Rattlegion Broadcasting premiere podcast, TV Party Tonight. I'm your host, the Mandated Reporter, and frankly, I'm mortified, Mr. Mark Rattlegion. And our favorite shows tonight are Impact Wrestling Slammiversary 2021 and WWE Money in the Bank 2021. Joining me to start off these proceedings is Harry Broadhurst. From the kickoff, how do you do, sir?
What's going on, Mark? How are you?
I am very good. Were you able to squeeze both of these in? I know this was a tall order. I said, hey, we're doing Slammiversary and Money in the Bank, and you went, who? What? Where's my pants? What's happening?
Well, the issue wasn't so much that we were doing both shows. It's that you decided to do both shows the Monday after the weekend they happened.
I have things to do, sir. I'm a very busy man. Don't you understand?
You're a busy man in a Goldberg shirt.
Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar.
If ever a paradox.
I loved this match. It was the best thing ever. But we're not here to talk about my stupid wrestling opinions on past shows. We're here to talk about my stupid opinions on new shows. So we're going to kick things off with Slammiversary. Chris Bailey will be joining us at some point.
Maybe.
Yeah, he'll just run in with a chair whenever he damn well feels like it. All right. So the dark match, the pre-show match, was Decay featuring Havoc and Rosemary with Black Taurus and Crazy Steve. I guess won the Impact Knockouts Tag Team Championships from Fire and Flava. What did you think of this match, Harry?
I didn't watch it.
Good. Moving on. The pay-per-view kicked off with
nothing against the four ladies, because yeah, as we've talked about many times here, Kiera Hogan might have the best ass in pro wrestling.
Indeed.
And I've always been a fan of Rosemary, going back to her Courtney Rush days in Shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
When she was tag team champions with Sarah Del Rey. But yeah, time was at a premium this weekend, specifically between the plans that I had on both Saturday and Sunday with the significant other, as well as the pay-per-view gathering yesterday. So the pre-show from Slammiversary was one of the things sacrificed in the downtime.
I understand. The opening bout on the pay-per-view proper was the Living Weapon, Josh Alexander.
Walking Weapon.
Walking, living. I mean, if you're living, you're walking, right?
maybe.
The walking weapon, Josh Alexander, took on Ace Austin, Chris Bay, Petey Williams, Rohit Rahu, and Trey Miguel in an Ultimate X match for the Impact X Division Championship, which Josh Alexander won this match in about 15 minutes, 45 seconds. Just real quick, this whole show was kind of a blur for me, but I will tell you that I haven't watched an Ultimate X match in God knows how long. I feel like it's been forever. And, you know, it was fun. The guys make good use of the gimmick, usually, and I didn't think this one was that bad. I was really afraid at certain points in the match they were going to take the title off Josh Alexander. They did not, which I was super thrilled about. What were your thoughts?
Yeah, I don't think if Alexander's going to lose the belt, he needs to lose the belt in this kind of a setting. I think a straight-up one-on-one match would make somebody in the X Division taking the belt off of Alexander. We kind of talked about this when we did the last Impact Plus special, when they did the no contest in the Fatal 5-Way, that this was where they were heading for Slammiversary. I wasn't expecting I wasn't expecting them to go the route of the Ultimate X, but I think with this being one of the marquee pay-per-views on the Impact Wrestling calendar, this one's Bound for Glory, and then the Rebellion, and what's the one in January? There's always one in January, and I don't remember what it's called. But the point being, this being one of the marquee one of the marquee pay-per-views, actual non-Impact Plus pay-per-views on the Impact Wrestling schedule. I understand the decision to bring Ultimate X back for it.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Next match. Matt Cardona had a mystery partner. And he and said mystery partner took on Brian Myers with Tennille Dashwood, who were joined by Sam Beal and Caleb with a K. And the mystery partner turned out to be the Hot Mess Express, Chelsea Green.
Well, they kind of gave it away on Impact when Scott D'Amore asked about the situation with Cardona and said, yeah, it's turning into a real hot mess. I'm glad she's getting to keep the Chelsea Green name, because her original run in Impact, she was the Hot Mess Laurel Van Ness.
Okay.
So I like that she's getting to keep the Chelsea Green name.
Was she the one that came out in the weird bridal gown at All Out?
Yes.
All In. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I loved her. I had never seen her before, and I saw her come out in the bridal gown, like the two-faced bridal gown, and I was dying laughing. I'm like, this is fantastic. I just give this woman all the titles. They brought her to NXT, and she is smoking hot. And we talked about this on the last review that, like, Matt Cardona, respect for getting that Chelsea Green.
You want to talk about a dude who swings above his pay grade. Not only Chelsea, but Tennille as well.
Right. Yeah. We covered that at length in meticulous detail. the little bit that she was on NXT and then she got brought up to the main roster after a cup of tea, I think what held her back was what? She kept getting injured, right? And they just said enough already. I believe that was the case. Harry will be back momentarily and set me straight. Oh, there he is.
Nope. I apologize. I had a phone call come in. Apparently, people don't know not to call when I'm recording.
Yes, sir. I get that. So I was asking about Chelsea Green's run, littered with injuries, if I recall.
Yeah, same with her WWE one, because remember she debuted in that four-way leading up to, what was it, last year? I want to say it was, may have been Money in the Bank last year, actually, that she debuted in a four-way, and she was supposed to win the match, but she broke her wrist in the match. And they had to make the decision to give somebody else the spot. It was either Money in the Bank or the Elimination Chamber, I forget which.
Yeah, so she's had kind of a run of bad luck, and now she's back in Impact. And I don't know, what do you think? I mean, I'm more interested in what's going to happen with Chelsea Green going forward than I am in the actual match itself. The match itself was fine. You know, quick results. Her and Matt defeated Brian Myers and Tennille Dashwood in about 6 minutes. The match itself seemed okay. My real question is, you know, if this is a rehabilitative run for Chelsea Green, what does she do after? You think the WWE gives her another chance when, you know, they're not purging the, you think she's done, she's been branded and that's the end of it.
I think she has that label as an injury risk. And once you get that label as an injury risk in wrestling, you're kind of on borrowed time.
Yeah. So she'll either, if she goes anywhere else, she'll end up in AEW or presumably the NWA, or she'll just retire. She'll be a teacher or something. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I'm ready to continue. I don't have a whole lot to add about the mixed tag match. I mean, right. I get it was what it was, but it was only like 7 minutes long, so there wasn't really a whole lot to digest there. Right.
So this next one managed to capture my attention. W. Morrissey defeated Eddie Edwards by pinfall in just about 11 minutes. They're listening to us. W. Morrissey continues to get pushed. Eddie Edwards gave him a stiff fight. But I think, once again, this was a showcase match for Morrissey with a higher tier, at least for this company guy. He got to show more of his brutality. He got to be more of a monster. Eddie Edwards was there for it. He kept feeding him and getting thrashed, and he would feed him and get thrashed. And W. Morrissey, they didn't take the title. We'll get to this in a little bit. They didn't take the title off Kenny Omega. At some point, they're going to have to. That might be the guy. This might be what they're building towards.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think whomever the savior of Impact ends up being, and we don't know who it is because obviously, as we'll talk about later on in this show, it ends up not being Sammy on the evening. Whoever ends up being the savior of Impact, you would almost have to think that Morrissey's being aligned as the first person to challenge, as the first incoming heel challenger for the new babyface champion.
Mm-hmm. For sure. What'd you think of the match itself?
I thought it was fantastic. Morrissey's been killing it in this Impact run. And it's good to see him in such great shape. It's good to see him in such great shape mentally as well as physically. And it's good to see him kind of shaking that stigma of tag team wrestler who was the lesser half of his tag team.
Yeah, we talked about this on the last show. He's much crisper, much more snug than he was at any point during especially his main roster WWE run. He seems less sloppy, very focused. Like, I don't know what he learned in his time off, but I feel like he had a good gimmick in NXT with Enzo, and he just kind of went along for the ride, but I don't know how much he understood about wrestling. He seems to get it now.
You want to know what he learned in his time away from wrestling? Self-confidence.
Mm-hmm.
There's a self-confidence there about his in-ring work and about the way he carries himself that wasn't there. Because Enzo did all of the talking for him and Cass. Enzo did most of the in-ring work for him and Cass. Cass came in as a bruiser here and there, but Cass was never really a viable threat on a regular basis. He was just the tall guy with Enzo in order to help Enzo back up with the stuff that Enzo was spewing. Now, Morrissey, Cass XL, whatever you want to call him, he's a star.
He is, absolutely. And like I said, if he's not the guy... Like, I think he, because he's not, I haven't watched Impact Television. Maybe you would know better than I would, but I haven't seen him necessarily do dastardly heelish things. He's more of like just an angry, shit kicking monster guy. But you can turn that around in an episode of Impact.
You know who he kind of reminds me of?
Mm-hmm.
He's Impact's version of Lance Archer.
Yeah. He's not a bad guy. He's just like an angry monster. But I think that's what I'm saying. Like, just to kind of finish this conversation and move it along, I feel like when they're ready to turn him loose on Kenny Omega, he'll be fine. It's not like they have to do a major face run. He can be the same character.
But
you don't think so?
I don't think so. I don't think it works with him as a heel against Omega because of the fact that I think you're going to want specifically defined roles and pro Impact support. Honestly, you know who I think might be the guy to dethrone Omega at this point now? It might be Eddie Edwards.
Maybe. I mean, he is Mr. Impact at this point, right?
Uh-huh.
As far as all the faces go. Well, he didn't win here. So next up, we had Finn Juice, made up of David Finlay and Juice Robinson, defeating Madman Fulton and Shira?
Mahabali Shira.
Yeah, this was, I blinked and this was over. It only lasted a minute and 15 seconds. Anything?
Next.
Good. Moving on. So this one aggravated the living shit out of me. Chris Sabin defeated Moose in his most wonderful Greek garb. Don't know what the hell he was wearing. In 12 minutes. And again... Didn't Moose just re-sign with this company? And this drives me insane because, like, how do you... Moose is the guy, man. I don't understand. I know he can't win every match, but how do you not beat 100-year-old, 5-foot-nothing Chris Sabin if you're Moose?
This is a get-back win for Sabin after Moose kicked his ass on one of the Impact Plus specials and injured him.
Uh-huh.
I get where you're coming from. The booking is questionable, but at the same time, Moose has already had his shot at Omega. Moose failed against Omega. Granted, it was due to the assistance of the Young Bucks, but still, Moose failed against Omega. So they're kind of circling Moose down in order to bring him back up down the road here. I don't think that Moose is going to be the guy here. I wouldn't be surprised to see Moose end up in a tag team and going after the tag team champions, which we'll get to in a few moments.
Maybe. I don't see the point in giving Chris Sabin this high profile of a win. I mean, I'm not saying you need to like boot him out of the company or anything. I think you need all the bodies you can muster. But let's put it this way. When I remember Chris Sabin as part of the Motor City Machine Guns from a decade ago, maybe this isn't the guy to be getting high profile wins over your one of your top tier young talents.
See, the argument could also be made, though, for the loyalty thing for Saban, the fact that he's been with Impact by and large since like 2003 when he debuted in the X Division as the future Chris Saban.
Right. I just, with to your knowledge, with your vast treasure trove of recent wrestling history, was anyone even interested in Chris Saban outside of Impact? Like,
He had some interest from NXT.
Okay.
Obviously, the guns went back to Ring of Honor for a while as well when their run in Impact ended. The thing about Saban is unfortunately, Saban's biggest issue is Saban's lack of size. Saban is a phenomenal talent.
Sure. I'm not saying he's not a good wrestler, but not to tweak this particular nipple, but he you're right. He doesn't have the size. He's a generic looking dude who happens to wrestle, except that's not particularly outstanding. There's a lot of generic looking short dudes that can wrestle awesome.
Yeah, and I don't disagree too, and especially when you consider the size, the stature, and the presence that Moose has. Like, let's talk about the promo that Moose cut earlier in the show.
Yeah.
The promo Moose cut, the pre-tape Moose had earlier in the show, was really good, actually. I really enjoyed his promo. And I think the fact that Moose is, 6'8" and, 280 pounds of solid-ass muscle?
Right.
Like, there's definitely something there with him, but I think that in order for the fans to get behind him, I think it's going to end up having to be on a babyface run before Impact puts their steam behind him. Because you can tell that there is a good portion of the TNA faithful that actually do want to cheer for the guy. Because the whole... The interactivity of the entrance. I don't know if you saw me doing it while you were talking about the match. I was over here going, Moose.
Okay. Well, look, I'm here for Moose in a big time run in Impact. I want to see it happen. I'm not totally disagreeing with you in the idea of it wouldn't have worked with him as the heel when he was fighting with what's his face? Dancing dude. Dreads dancing, last Impact champion. Help me.
Richie Swan.
That's it. Yeah, Rich Swan. Oof, I totally drew a blank on the name. When he was fighting with Rich Swan and killing Willie Mack and being an asshole, I don't think that was the time. I think there was an opportunity there, but I think that the thrill is in the hunt. Like, other than W. Morrison and Eddie Edwards, there's no other guy in this company I want to see defeat Kenny Omega than Moose. But I think you have to then reframe Moose as the babyface, the babyface champion of savior of Impact.
We'll come back to that statement a little bit later on in the show.
Moving on. Yes. The Good Brothers took on Violent by Design featuring Joe Doring and Rhino. Rich Swan and Willie Mack, as I was just bumbling through my way through. Fala Ba and a debuting No Way Jose. No Way Jose. coming off of his run on the main roster where he had a cup of tea and then we never saw him again. The Good Brothers won the match in 10 minutes, 10 seconds. What's a Fala Ba?
A Fala Ba is a Filipino, I believe. He usually teams with TJP, but apparently I think TJP had New Japan and was unable to be at Slammiversary because of Impact.
Didn't he also just injure himself?
He might have. I haven't really seen much in the way of Impact news going into Slammiversary because I was informed very last minute that we were covering Slammiversary.
Everyone gets the schedule a month ahead of time. I would send it out a year ahead of time if I had the dates myself. I don't want to hear it. For those of you listening on strictly audio, he just stuck his tongue out at me.
Yes, audio, or as I would say on the kickoff at this point, audio cue or visual cue on an audio podcast.
Anyway,
you roll your eyes at me.
I'm rolling my eyes at something else. Fala Ba. So what's a Fala Ba? Fala la 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 la.
I mean, it is coming up on Christmas in July, I suppose. No, the match itself was okay. It wasn't anything special. Violent by Design. I think they got the wheel. I think they got the legs cut out from under them because I actually really enjoy the stable. I'm not sold on Cody Deaner, but I do really like Eric Young. I think Rhino is horrendously underrated and has been for the vast majority of his career. And Joe During is one of those guys that you've not seen on the American independent scene and the American national scene because of the fact that he made most of his name over in All Japan. So he's one of those guys that's a fresh face and a fresh look to the American scene. So I think that Violent by Design had more to do here. I get that the idea behind putting the tag team titles was in order to have those tag team titles on Dynamite on a week-to-week basis in order to get more name recognition for the Impact Wrestling brand by having them on the Good Brothers. But I do think it was a miscarriage to take the belts off of VBD already.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't know why they gave it to them in the first place. I don't like the fast turnarounds with the belt. Unless there's a reason, like in-story reason why you're doing it. I don't really understand like why you would take the titles off of this one team that's part of this bigger story. Go ahead. You're dying to get in here.
I'm sorry, but the reason that they put the belts on Violent by Design is because Finn Juice had to leave to go back on a tour of Japan, and they had to get the belts off of Finn Juice.
Okay, fair enough. But then they rotate it right back to the Good Brothers. I'm guessing, I don't know, maybe at some point the Good Brothers were supposed to win it back, but not when they needed to get the belts off of them, is what you're saying?
That would be my assumption, yes.
All right,
and they wanted to take the belts off of Finn Juice before Finn Juice went back for their tour of New Japan.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, I'm noticing on the video version of this podcast that Chris Bailey.
Chris Bailey.
I'm
definitely here. However, when Harry goes to talk, it's like it's really unusual. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, that must be on your end because I'm not hearing it. Hey, Chris Bailey, how do you do, sir?
What is going on, gentlemen? I am bombarded here, but by God, I want to take part in this conversation. So I heard we're talking. Tag team.
Slammiversary. We're up to the four-way tag team match, rather. The Good Brothers defeated. We're talking the Good Brothers defeating Violent by Design, Rich Swann and Willie Mack, and fa la 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 ba. And no way, Jose.
Oh, I think it's just no way, isn't it? I think they dropped Jose.
Well, they didn't want to get sued today. Sued today.
It doesn't quite ring.
I don't think just having him called No Way is going to dodge that lawsuit. But anyway, we'll see. There's no way you're not going to get a lawsuit from that. But anyway,
why not just call him Luis Valbuena? It doesn't make sense to me.
They should have called him La 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 and Feliz Navidad and called them the Christmas twins.
That's a little bit racist, sir.
That's not a little bit racist.
Oh my God!
It's festive. That
being said, I am going to call him fa la 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 ba for the rest of the modern eternity.
I'll tell you what I found different is like, why did they, cut the push of our former tag team champions here with Rhino and Doring here? I just don't understand.
That is literally what I just said, Chris Bailey.
Yeah, right before you walked in, that's what we were talking about.
Violent by Design is a homegrown unit and a pretty solid one.
Given
Eric Young something to do, and all of a sudden you're cutting the legs off them for guys who don't need belts. They're over as it is. Any federation they go to, it's perfectly okay. These guys don't need it, but Violent by Design need something. They need a win. If you know what I'm checking out, Mark Radlich. Violent by Design needs a win, and this is not the way to do it. I mean, holy cow. Too early in the run. They needed to build this a little bit more, and it was actually disappointing to see the Good Brothers win the tag belts here.
Chris Bailey, where's your fun little icon?
it must have been lost on this particular device I'm using, which is not adequate. Not my podcasting studio of choice, let's put it that way.
Well, we'll move on, but if you can put a pretty picture in there, I would love you for it.
There may be toilets in the area where I am right now.
No, not your pretty picture, a pretty picture. Next up is
Mark, this podcast is going to shit.
Ah, I see what you did there. This match didn't go to shit. This is one of the better matches of the night. Deonna Purrazzo, who, you know, I tend to be a little hard on the Beaver.
Body shame? Yes, yes, you do.
I liked my phrase. I'm a little hard on the Beaver. But she took on Thunder Rosa, who looked spectacular tonight in her getup. Thunder Rosa, little ways back in March, Thunder Rosa had the death match with Britt Baker. My daughter instantly fell in love with Thunder Rosa. She has such a look. She's such a great wrestler. She was a great get from NWA, and they brought her in tonight to take on Deonna Purrazzo. And I'll tell you, in all the times that we've been watching Impact this past year, you know, since Kenny Omega came along, this is probably the best match I've ever seen Deonna Purrazzo in. Thunder Rosa is one of the best female wrestlers going right now, and everyone that she gets in the ring with, she gives good matches to. She tends to lose them, but she tends to give good match.
Don't sleep on the virtuosa, though. Deonna Purrazzo's been killing it in the Impact. Absolutely. Yeah, you may not be a huge fan of how she looks with the ring gear that she wore, and tonight was another one of those ring gear choices I'm sure you found, or Saturday was another one of those ring gear choices you found questionable. I see the look on your face, Rattledge.
I didn't notice. I'm going to be honest.
I don't get the Purrazzo hate. I honestly don't. I mean, I think she's a pretty good-looking girl. And, you know, body size aside.
Hang on, because I'm feeling triggered now. All I said was if you have a belly, if you're a thick girl, maybe don't show off your midriff. It's not a good look.
Oh, my but God.
She's maybe so there are guys.
So inappropriate.
Maybe there are guys that are into that.
I'm not here to kink shame. I'm saying this is a...
Clearly you are, sir.
This is a... look, don't...
Oh, so fat is a kink now. Fat is a kink.
It is in my house. I'm just saying, like, it's a television product. Everyone needs to look their red carpet best. And her gear was fine, as far as I remember, Saturday. Her gear has been fine. I said that once in the one time she wore this really weird-looking outfit with her midriff showing, and it was not a spectacular look.
back to the match itself, why we bust Rattledge's balls here.
I feel triggered.
The match itself was really good, but again, Deonna Purrazzo might be the best women's wrestler in North America right now.
I would not say she's better than Thunder Rosa. No.
I would say she's better than Thunder Rosa. And the reason I would say she's better than Thunder Rosa is because Purrazzo is more of an established character than Thunder Rosa is. So she gives you a reason to care about her matches.
I'm going to agree. Thunder Rosa is being passed around. I don't even want to talk about how she's being passed around. However, she seems to be on every promotion you can talk about. So, you know, she's that person that every promotion tries to sign. Deonna Purrazzo is like a homegrown, girl that they've really given the proper elevation to. She's getting the Charlotte Flair treatment right now, and I think it's a really, really good deal. And I think she actually carries it off, believe it or not, a little bit better than Charlotte. I'm definitely into the virtuoso gimmick, man. I'm 100% on Harry's side on this one.
Not to mention the other thing, too, with regards to Thunder Rosa is Thunder Rosa is – you remember the words that Cody Rhodes used to describe Shawn Spears?
My
a
friend.
Good hand. A good hand.
She is a good hand, yes.
All right.
Thunder Rosa's a good hand, but she's not somebody you're going to build a division around. Deonna Purrazzo is somebody you're going to build a division around, as Impact has clearly done.
I don't know. I'm going to go ahead and just say I disagree with you guys. I think we're just kind of kicking around the ball. I don't think there's a real right answer here. This is really subjective. But Thunder Rosa has a look. I think she does have a character. I think she's technically a better wrestler. And we're talking maybe, small degrees here. It's not like, it's not like she's Chris Statlander or Shotzi Blackheart and just like drips, klutzy trips all over herself, all down. Not that bad. But,
I like Galaxy's cutest alien.
You like who you like. She's still klutzy. She's better than she was, but.
She's adorable as a klutz, though. It works for her gimmick. She's an alien, man.
Okay. So anyway, if we're just talking about, just purely able to put together a match in the ring, I mean, Serena Del Rey, Thunder Rosa, Deonna Purrazzo, Charlotte. I mean,
Serena Del Rey.
Serena Deeb.
Thank you.
Serena Deeb. I'm old. Leave me alone.
I'm like, when did Sarah come out of retirement and get a sister?
Serena Deeb. You know, I think those are some of the best, like, pure move for move wrestlers out, female wrestlers out there right now.
I read a story here, and I don't know if you guys do spoilers here on TVPT or not.
We spoil everything. That's
spoil
what we
the
do.
Crap out of it.
All right. I read a story here that the idea for Purrazzo for the NWA Empower special is that she's going to take on Melina Perez.
Okay.
I don't know.
Any interest in that at all?
I like when Marina Perez does splits.
Literally, that's it. I saw her on NWA the last time that I actually saw her, and no big deal. I thought I had nostalgia for her, and then she wrestled, and I was like, yeah, I think I had about enough of that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think for a one-time match where we get to see, you know, her ass bounce off the canvas, I'm fine with it. I mean, I...
Oh, man.
What?
Some decorum.
The views and opinions of Mark Rattledge do not necessarily reflect those of the W2M Network.
Yeah, and if you don't like it, you can send hate mail to Sean Garmer.
S.Garmer@gmail.com.
Perfect. Even Sean Comer, send it to him.
Speaking of Sean Comer.
Unless he's going to rant in a Google Doc.
Stop. Stop. No hurt feelings. Speaking of Sean Comer, Kenny Omega with Don Callis took on Sammy Callahan in a death match.
Well served, sir.
This is... I'm so tired of seeing Sammy Callahan do death matches. This is, what, the sixth in a row on an Impact pay-per-view of some denomination? I'm just over this. I'm over, like... I think when Kenny Omega did them in AEW, they were different enough that, and they were far enough apart that I wasn't, like, bored by this. This one, can someone explain to me anything they saw in this match they hadn't seen in the last six, at least, Sammy Callahan matches, or the one Kenny Omega had with John Moxley? I mean...
Well, this is the treadmill, buddy. This is the same old sandwich.
And then they don't give him the win, so I just feel like somebody in the back office at Slammiversary is like, you know what the kids like? The kids like pizza cutters. And I don't mean the dance move at the hardcore show. I mean an actual Nick fucking Gage pizza cutter in the mouth. And, you know, and that's the thing. It's like, this was a half pregnant, just the tip death match. Like, if you're going to go, you know, if you're going to do these, go all out like Kenny Omega and John Moxley did, go full schlack. Don't you look at me that way. Schlack. I want to see Slack win all the titles.
Someone's having flashbacks to Backyard Wrestling 3.
Slack is amazing.
We missed you for that, Bailey.
Oh, I don't think I missed a thing.
You didn't really, because this one was the worst of the three. But
God, I can't imagine.
Okay, so here's the issue that I have with this. Like, I like Sammy Callahan. I've been a big fan of Sammy Callahan's, but the glare from my glasses is awful, so I can't wear them while I'm doing this. I like Sammy Callahan. I've liked Sammy Callahan for years. The problem is that Sammy Callahan's actually a damn good wrestler when he gets the opportunity to show that he's a damn good wrestler.
Yes, sir. Right.
The problem is Impact Wrestling does not seem to like to show the fact that Sammy Callahan is a damn good wrestler. I get the idea behind having these kind of matches, and I get the idea behind how this match would theoretically favor Callahan because of his history with violence, because of the fact that him and Mox used to be known as the SBC. They were the Switchblade Conspiracy in CZW, and Mox took Omega to his limit in the death match. One would stand to reason that Callahan would do the same. So Scott D'Amore's line of thinking there is the death match would give Sammy Callahan the advantage. The problem is, and I think they should have pulled the trigger and had Callahan win this match. And the reason I say that is, where does that leave you for Kenny Omega going forward?
Right.
Eddie Edwards lost, like we talked about. The next logical opponent by Impact Wrestling booking is for Kenny Omega.
I don't I don't know, you snob. According to you, it's Chris Sabin.
It is Chris Sabin.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, my God.
I was being sarcastic. I was being sarcastic.
Here's why. Sabin's coming off of the biggest win of his return to Impact here, beating Moose. I'm not saying that Sabin needs to beat Omega. Yes, I know. Be still thy heart, Rattledge. I'm not saying that Sabin needs to beat Omega, but Sabin's going to be an Impact Plus challenger for Omega. And Sabin's going to be one of those placeholder feuds here until they have the opportunity to build somebody up in order to take on Kenny at Bound for Glory. Unless we talk about what happened after the match, which I'm sure we'll get to once everybody's had a chance to talk.
No, I agree with you. Kenny Omega really has taken on all comers. He's taken on big guys. He's taken on fat guys. I think now he has to fight a midget. I think you're right.
I'm just not sure that Sabin is a big enough someone to run a pay-per-view. Like, I know
I'll tell you, he's not big enough in size.
Get it. But anyway, I get the point. Yes, they're building a homegrown talent here in Chris Sabin. You know, he's you know, synonymous with Impact Wrestling. So on paper, this looks absolutely like the right move. Okay, it certainly does 100%. I just don't think that Sabin draws flies. You know what I mean? I don't think that this is a good position to put the company in, especially with the extra notoriety and the little bit of rub that they're getting from AEW. Is this when you present Chris Sabin? I'm not sure if this is the right direction to go in, but, you know, you talk about Sami Callihan here. I think they had a good match. I think it showcased the hardcore nature of Sami Callihan. But like you said, Harry, there's a lot more to Callihan than just the hardcore, okay? There is. We've seen him in NXT. We've seen him around the indies. The guy can go in a traditional wrestling sense, and I think we need to see more of that from him because he's just being...
Just to wrap this up, we can move on to Money in the Bank. For me, not that it was a bad match. I was just kind of bored because it didn't feel like this was anything I hadn't seen before. Oh. And they didn't make use of the medium in a way that was interesting to me. And then they don't even crown the guy at the end. So it was like, well, another month, another Kenny Omega win in a... Well, and that's the thing is, like, unfortunately, on the way to this match, Kenny Omega's Impact run has not been stellar. He's had, like, par matches. You know, they haven't been bad. They ain't half bad, but they ain't half good neither. They've just been par. And Kenny Omega is capable of so much more. Go ahead, Harry.
I lost the audio, guys. I'll sign back.
Well, let's. I can hear you, Bailey. Let's talk about the way we went off the air for the show, though, because I think that's going to be the thing coming out of this show that we lost, Bailey. I think that's going to be the thing coming out of the show that everybody's going to want to talk about, Mark.
Yeah, and no.
The impact debut of one Switchblade Jay White.
No, for sure. And really, the only thing I have to say about this is, and you just reminded me of it. You know, we're like, well, what next? What next? Clearly, Jay White's next. And I think an intramural sort of feud that crosses Impact, New Japan, and AEW takes us to October at the very least, when Bound for Glory pay-per-view is. So I think whatever Impact, I don't know when the next Impact Plus is. It's not on the schedule that I could see when I checked yesterday.
July 31st.
Oh yeah, we're not doing that one, by the way. I'm not gonna be home. But anyway, my point being, I think there's a lot of little steps you can take to get to another big blow off, and they can either do that with Jay White when they get there, or they can kind of have Jay White in this in between position, building up Eddie Edwards to take back the title at Bound for Glory. Though here, and this is my last comment on this, and I'll give you guys your last comments, and we'll move on to Money in the Bank. If they don't take the title off of Kenny Omega by Bound for Glory, I'm gonna start to lose interest in this story if I haven't already. I think winning it in spring, losing it in the fall is good enough. We don't need to keep this going past October.
I don't think there's any problem with a cheap, dusty finish, too. I mean, you're talking a big heel. Why not give somebody the win and just yank the damn belt off them on the next show with some big conspiracy? I mean, you got Don Callis. They can roll the whole Triple H Jericho scenario that they did, you know, back in the day on Raw, which caused outrage. I mean, there's so many different finishes you can do instead of just having Kenny Omega just steamroll or get quick wins over people. So, you know, you need to mix it up. I agree with Mark. The belt collector thing has, has made his last mile. I think it's starting to get on everybody's nerves. But I dig the entire thing. But maybe extra challengers, like new guys like Jay White. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe something different. But Saban ain't.
Well, let's also talk about the fact that he has that Triple H championship defense scheduled against Andrade El Idolo as well. So I think that we're going to start to see the end of the reign of the belt collector coming soon. That being said, I do
August 4th. Triple Mania Omega versus Andrade is August 14th.
That's a good match.
I think this would have been a prime place to take the belt off of Omega here, because then you can kind of start that Omega's in a slide thing going into the match against, we assume, Hangman Adam Page at All Out, because you could have him drop the Impact. You could have him drop the Impact title here to Callahan. Have him drop the AAA title to Andrade at Triple Mania, and then he's only got the one title going into the match against the Hangman at All Out in September.
All right, our next thing that we're going to talk about is Money in the Bank. I got home in time to see the match, but I got home like just as it was starting. So the first thing I saw was Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio walking through a portal to their match against the Usos. They had a match. Dominic Mysterio, I'm not really interested in him as a personality, but he doesn't seem to suck in the ring like he used to. He seems like he's starting to get it. You know, you talked about with W. Morrison some confidence. He's starting to show a little bit of confidence there. And for no reason that I could see, that I could ascertain from anything that happened on this match, the Usos beat Rey Mysterio and Dominic in 11 minutes and 25 seconds. Bailey, what the hell, man?
Yeah, I mean, this is way too early. But I get what they're doing. They're stacking the belts on the Samoans, you know what I mean? So they're, you know, they got the big guy at the head of the table. Then you got the two minions. So, you know, these guys are sprinkled in gold. So it makes sense. But unfortunately, it cuts into a run of a very capable team that I think is a good presentation, especially when the crowds are back in the arena. I mean, Rey Mysterio still gets a pop. I think there's a bit of love right now for Dominic Mysterio as well. That will wear off, trust me. There is going to come a time when Dominic is going to be in that ring and that crowd is going to shit all over that kid. It's coming. It's coming very, very soon. But I like it. I like this father-son duo, and I hope they don't go the easy way out and have Dominic turn on his father this early. Don't go down the path. Can we just have a father-son team, let it play out organically? And it's a real shame that they took the belts off these guys. Too bad. But I understand what they're doing. They're belt building on the old Samoan side. So it makes sense. If you're going to lose the belts, it's to the Samoans. It's to the Usos. Us.
Mark, I have a question. You're a social worker, right?
I license clinically, yes.
A curiosity, just hypothetically speaking here, if you were to catch a DUI, would you still have a job?
My God, he's a mandated reporter.
And frankly, I'm mortified. I would probably get, considering the agency that currently contracts with the company I work for, I would probably get called into an office. I may not lose my job, but if I didn't lose my job, I would at least be given a stiff warning that this was the one and only chance I was being given to shape up. And I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, but if this was your third time.
Yeah, I was about to, and not to mention, let's say you blow almost three times the state legal limit when you're pulled over as well.
To move this along, yes, Harry, if I pulled an Uso, I would lose my job.
Yeah, instead Uso gets the tag team titles. Like, I agree with what Chris Bailey just said. I agree with Chris Bailey, because I'm going to steal your gimmick now. Yeah. It's to put the belts on the Samoan dynasty, and that's what I called when I was watching this pay per view with my group of friends. I said the Usos are winning here in order to build up Roman as the champion, to have him have his henchmen be the tag team champions. It's evolution. It's not a mystery anymore. It's the exact reasoning behind it. Yep, that's right. That was intentional, and it was corny as F. I'm aware. Anyway, so the idea behind putting the belts on the Usos is not surprising to me, but I think it was a mistake to do so early into the era of having the fans back in attendance, and not to mention with the pending legal troubles that Jimmy Uso is clearly going to have to sort out over the course of the next couple of weeks.
I think they're leaving a lot of bad taste in their mouth with the fans too, because I think people want Uso to be held accountable like everybody else in the past who, you know,
absolutely. Sometimes
if you sneeze the wrong way in that dressing room, you know, you could be fired depending on your status with the company. But I guess Roman Reigns and that whole gimmick has packs a little bit of stroke, so he was protected.
Yeah, so I mean, apparently there is a prejudice in the company. If you're liked by the higher ups on a personal level, you can pretty much get away with murder. You can pretty much get away with murder, and you'll get chance after chance after chance. If they think you're injury prone, or if they don't like you, or if you're an ass, or anything else, you know, yeah. Which, by the way, we just watched the documentary for You Can't Kill David Arquette, and my wife got so excited when she saw him. I was like, let me tell you the story. First, Hogan was on Piper's Pit. No,
with the trophy.
With the trophy, right? Now I had to tell the whole story about how Kennedy washed out of the WWE and everything. But yeah, just to kind of move things along. Go ahead, Harry. I stepped over you. You were about to say something.
Just real quick, you pointed out like the fact that if you're well liked, if you're personable, if management sees something in you, you get those opportunities. The Jeff Hardys, the Randy Ortons, and now apparently the Jimmy Usos.
Yep. Well, I'm sure some of that is leave my cousin alone, you know.
Yeah, Roman going to bat for Jimmy, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. So short of actually killing a baby, the Usos will be able to continue to get it. I mean, when he kills somebody in a DUI, that'll probably be the end of it.
Oh yes,
but,
yes.
You know, until then, we kicked off the Money in the Bank proper pay per view with the Money in the Bank women's match, which featured Nikki A.S.H. defeating Alexa Bliss, Asuka, Liv Morgan, otherwise known in my house now as Tassels, and Naomi, another fan favorite in this house. We like it when she hits people with her butt. We like it when she hits people with her butt and her colorful attire. We like it in this house.
And somebody explain, and I just don't, it baffles me because, you know, this is a night where crowd reaction was up and down like a yo-yo. Sometimes it was like watching, you know, felt like we were in Japan. People were frozen, like literally in time.
You could hear crickets during this match.
Well, there were certain points where I thought they were back to piping in crowd noise. I don't know if it was, but it felt like it. But what is the deal with Naomi's reaction? When this girl came out, I mean, everybody else was getting, you know, the polite applause. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You had some people skipping out to the ring into almost nothing.
It's a tale of two different, like, reactions, because Naomi comes out in her colorful attire and her techno music and her big hair, and everybody loves her. Like, this is the kind of person who makes use of the television medium, and everybody digs it. And when she loses, it's like, gosh, why do they never push the people that we like? Then there's Natalya, who gets chance after chance after chance, and as vanilla as the day is long, and gets no crowd reactions. But apparently, she's a wackadoo on one of the stupid social medias my wife follows, Instagram maybe. Apparently, she's a huge wackadoo on Instagram, and so my wife like loves Natalya for that reason. You know, she's into cats and being nuts and I don't know what else. But the general population who
has a hot sister.
Has a hot sister who isn't following this broad on Instagram. It's like she comes out and it's like Daffy Duck when he's competing with Bugs Bunny. It's just fucking crickets across the board.
You're a dick.
I missed most of that, Mark. The audio was breaking up on me.
The point, Harry.
I heard what you said, and frankly, Mark, you're despicable.
I've often heard that. Thanks, Bugs. All right. So as I was saying, Vanilla, Natalya, Tamina, and Zelina Vega, who was in a hot getup, Nikki won the thing, and I love this spot at the end. So this was yet another nondescript ladder match. They had a couple of really cool spots, but ultimately, you know, I think we're basic. Yeah, I was going to say, we're in an era of knowing how to get through these without killing yourself. And so that's all you get. You get the theme park stunt show. It's very safe. It's not particularly thrilling. It is what it is. And it's fine. So That being said, like the best thing for me was the spot at the end where you had the three ladders and the six gals and they were all fighting, and then Nikki climbed over all of them while they were all distracted momentarily.
Oh,
and,
my God.
And got so the title. Good. I laughed my ass off at that. I'm like, bravo.
So what I want you guys to do is check out the replay. So right after she wins it and they're showing the replay of her descent up the ladder, mm-hmm. they're showing it in somewhat slow motion. So everybody is, you know, pretending that they're fighting somebody else and, you know, making out that they're clearly occupied and not noticing Nikki, okay? Take a look, and I'm telling you, literally go back and take a look. Asuka is trying her best or her worst to reach and touch, you know, Nikki as she goes up the ladder. And she is, you know, clearly, you know, trying her best or her worst to try to stop her, but she's not. It is the most ridiculous pantomime you'll ever see. It is literally worth a second watch. It is so hilarious. You know, when you're in Royal Rumble.
Is it as bad as The Rock against Triple H at SummerSlam 98, where he's like suddenly got crippling arthritis?
Oh, I mean, we've all seen it. We've all seen it in like battle royals and Royal Rumbles where, you get people who have to occupy time. So, you know, you're over in the corner with your opponent and you're laying in like the weakest of forearms to their chest or something just to occupy time while the real action is happening, you know, in the middle of the ring. You know what I mean? You're just creating as, movement, basically.
As Doc Gallows would say, you're trading forearms with the Good Brothers.
Exactly.
Right. I want to get your thoughts on this. Who are you, Harry? But before we do, because I missed when I was supposed to do this.
thanks for remembering my name.
You're welcome.
You know, if you made notes with a certain app, you would be able to remember my name easier.
You're right. If I would use Grammarly more often, I wouldn't miss my cues to do the Grammarly read, because Grammarly's AI-powered products help people communicate more effectively. Grammarly helps you write mistake for you on Gmail, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and nearly anywhere else you write on the web. Grammarly corrects hundreds of grammar, punctuation, and spelling mistakes while also catching contextual errors, improving your vocabulary, and suggesting style improvements. To download Grammarly today, get Grammarly, go to GetGrammarly.com/W2M Network. Again, that's GetGrammarly.com/W2M Network to download Grammarly for free. Harry Broadhurst, what did you think of this ladies' Money in the Bank match?
I completely agree with you. It was a very safe version of the Money in the Bank match. And then when you see what happens in the men's Money in the Bank match later in the show, you realize just how tame it was, because all eight of those guys went balls to the wall later on in the show.
My only other comment on this match was, and my wife and daughter figured it out before I did, and after I noticed it, I started laughing every time it happened. Alexa Bliss using mind control to make people walk down the ladder and shit. Alexa, stop! Bliss, as she will now be known. I every time she did it, I would crack up laughing. WWE is so... It is so cartoony and so stupid, but occasionally, despite all of that, I laugh anyway.
Oh, Mark, you realize that was the perfect segue for the Get Amazon Music ad, right?
It's too close to the Grammarly read. Moving on.
I know.
All right,
I'll cue you back up for it again later. Don't worry.
Sounds great. Please help my aging mind. When did the Viking Raiders come back, Harry?
2 weeks ago, wasn't it?
A couple of months ago. It was a couple of months ago, because Ivar came back from the spinal surgery that he had. Because remember, he did that suicide dive, and he like compressed his neck on the suicide dive, and he ended up having to have surgery. So he was out for like a good 6 to 8 months.
Okay. Well, it's the first time I've seen him. Again, I don't watch the weekly shows, and it's the first time I've seen him on any pay per view. They had a match with Omos and AJ Styles, and AJ Styles and Omos beat him. I honestly, this was 12 minutes and 55 seconds. I couldn't tell you a thing that happened in this match, Harry. I honestly, this one went right past me.
Other than the tree bomb finish where Omos pinned Eric, there wasn't really a whole lot to this. I will say there was one really cool spot that I did want to mention specifically because I thought it was awesome. The swinging Hurricanrana to the floor with Omos throwing AJ over the top into the Rana. I thought that was really slick looking. Other than that, though, no, this match kind of bled.
Yeah. There is one spot that I do remember, and only because of how awkward it looked. So, Chris, you've been sending us these videos of the seemingly developmentally disabled boy who likes to jump into air conditioners and shit.
Yes.
And pools of glass.
Super dumbass. You mean super dumbass?
I don't know what his disability is, but clearly he has one. And I bring it up only because who's the fat Viking Raider? Which one is he?
Ivar.
Ivar. So Ivar did this spot where he jumped off, he like springboarded off the second rope, spun, and like tried to do a clothesline. But because he's a giant fat ass, his legs came down first, and then he like tried to save the maneuver. It didn't work. But it, like, he tried to do something really athletic looking for a big dude. And, you know, again, not to tweak the nipples of both Harry and everybody else who listens to this who hates when I bring the man up. But as Jim Cornette would say, don't do shit you don't know how to do.
See, that's the thing, though. We've seen that springboard lariat from Ivar before, and he's hit it very clean. It's just one of those instances where he wasn't able to catch it clean tonight.
It reminded me of the doofy kid jumping into air conditioners and shit. He just looked awful. I watched that and I'm like, oof, go back to NXT. Anything else about this match, Bailey?
Yeah, so I mean, you got Omos, who should not be within a 25-mile radius of a wrestling ring. He's still not improving, in my opinion. He's extremely awkward, super gigantic, makes Elegante look like Luthez. I mean, it's ridiculous.
But, I believe you just found your teaser line for Twitter for this episode, Mark. He makes Elegante look like Luthez.
Writing that down.
but anyway, yeah. So I mean, I want to talk about the Viking Raiders, I guess. That's my biggest takeaway here. So, I mean, you're bringing them back. You're repackaging them. You're giving them some, you know, new helmets, you know, a more profound, serious gimmick. And the first thing you do leading into this thing is show that stupid video package with the Street Profits, which I wanted buried in the dirt forever. Like, don't remind people. Bring back the serious badass team. But instead, nope, they don't do that. And we get the joke. Eric and Ivar coming to the ring here again. And yep. I would say a decent match. You had Omos press slamming and doing these big, big, you know, body slam type maneuvers on the guys here. And it looked impressive, but there was not a lot in this one. Right team won here. Get the Viking Raiders off my screen.
Harry, Bobby Lashley done killed Kofi Kingston. I distinctly heard the music from Oz playing in the background.
Bobby Lashley should have done killed Kofi Kingston. With all due respect to Kofi, I loved Kofi Mania. Kofi Mania was one of those catch lightning in a bottle situations where it worked for its time and people went fucking nuts for him.
Yep. Barry, Bobby Lashley, what he's missing on Raw, the build up to this where he's trading wins back and forth with the friggin' New Day.
Okay, but the thing was, is he needed that loss to Xavier to reignite that fire up under his ass to run through Kofi like he did.
Fair. Okay. But he lost to Kofi, too.
He lost to Kofi because of Drew McIntyre, if you recall.
Yes, I know. But why is our champion losing to the New Day? Why, Harry? Why?
Well, in this instance here, it actually makes sense because it helps play off the persona that MVP had softened Bobby Lashley. You notice who was not at ringside for Bobby Lashley's massacre of Kofi Kingston at Money in the Bank? MVP, because Bobby Lashley pointed out on Raw, on the closing segment of Raw, that you've caused me to go weak. The champagne, the women, the VIP lounge. You've taken me away from my focus, and that is being an ass-kicking machine. I am a certifiable badass, and you've turned me into this softer version of myself. Because earlier in the buildup, Kofi called Bobby Lashley soft, that he had gone soft compared to the Bobby Lashley that he was. And Kofi was right. Lashley had. He was living in the lap of luxury. He was sitting on those fine couches backstage. You know, WWE fine by couch standards. He was drinking the bottles of champagne. He was partying with Lashley's ladies because peace prostitutes isn't PG.
Well done.
So he wasn't the version of Bobby Lashley that he.
Hang on, what was that line again?
He said he was partying with Lashley's ladies because P's prostitutes isn't PG.
Oh.
Go on.
I feel like that just got screen capped for future usage. Anyways, the point being that he had turned Bobby Lashley soft away from the Lashley, the ass-kicking machine that ran through Miz and then ran through McIntyre at WrestleMania. This is the Bobby Lashley that Bobby Lashley needs to be, and especially if the rumors for SummerSlam for Lashley are correct. Because if the rumors for SummerSlam for Lashley are correct, Lashley's going to be every bit the dominating badass that he can be to step up to his SummerSlam opponent, Chris Bailey.
Which is Goldberg, isn't it?
Or yes. If they work out the deal, the other rumor was Lesnar.
I don't ask for much. I really don't. I've asked for two things: not to die of cancer, and can we please finally get Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley? It's all I've ever wanted in this life.
That's a low bar, Marcus. Low bar.
I need Brock Lesnar versus Black Lesnar, and then I can go into the woods to live deliberately.
Mark Rattledge was never seen again.
he just walked naked into the woods. We don't know what happened. I don't even care who wins. If Brock Lesnar takes on Bobby Lashley and they both explode, I would be fine.
I feel the need to point out that, quite frankly, I am mortified at this moment.
I have that effect on people. Go ahead, Bailey.
Oh, man. No, I'm looking forward to, like you said, now I'm looking forward to Lesnar and Lashley eventually. But I think the Goldberg thing is definitely an easy drawing card. Goldberg gets a couple quick wins headed into SummerSlam, dominant wins. So what do you do with this particular thing? Do you have Goldberg run him over, win the belt, and then have Lashley and win it back? No, you have Lashley finally tear through Goldberg if he's going to allow it. What a statement win that would be headed into Lashley.
You've already done that with Goldberg already with McIntyre at the Rumble, though.
Ugh, don't remind me. Ugh.
All right.
What purpose did that serve? Someone tell me that. What was the whole purpose?
So we can actually talk about the match that happened. Yeah, this. You're absolutely right. I wasn't disagreeing with you. Bobby Lashley murdered Kofi Kingston in just over 7 minutes, as he should have, and it was a good murdering. Like, credit where credit's due. Kofi Kingston was there and sold for Bobby Lashley, yes. And he made it look excellent and made Bobby Lashley look ever more like the killer going into whatever it is they're going to do with him in the near future. They got to fill that stadium in Las Vegas. So you really, and other than John Cena, Roman Reigns, we'll talk about momentarily, you're going to need more than that. John Cena is fine and all, and John Cena versus Roman Reigns is okay, but we've already seen it. So you're going to need a couple more of that level to fill up Reliant Stadium in Las Vegas. And I'd like to point out at this time that Tyson Fury, you douchebag, make sure you get all your vaccinations this time so you don't cancel yet another fight with Deontay Wilder, because that was also supposed to happen in that stadium in August, or the end of July, rather. Anyway, next week. It was supposed to happen this Saturday. Damn you all. Damn your eyes. Anyway, now that I've had my rant, anything else about this match? If not, we're moving on.
One real quick thing about the Kofi Kingston factor here. I just wanted to say respect to Kofi Kingston, because everything that Kofi's been asked to do over the course of the last 3 years, Kofi has done, going all the way back to him having the opportunity to run with Kofi Mania. Now he's a guy that somebody can beat in order to give themselves some extra credit, because of the fact that he has that former WWE champion Kofi Kingston accomplishment on his name. Yep. So Kofi's always been the company guy, but even more so recently, because he saw the highest of highs, and now he's being used as almost cannon fodder to Bobby Lashley in this particular situation.
Yeah, totally agree. Next match was Charlotte Flair beating Rhea Ripley in 16 minutes, 50 seconds. I like this match. A couple of things of note. Everybody in my house noticed that Charlotte Flair, her chest, she looks smaller, significantly smaller. I don't know if it's just a weight loss thing or if she got breast reduction, but she looked super athletic. Like, she's never not looked athletic, but I mean, here it's thinner. This is something that my wife and I talked at length about. as a matter of fact, while this match was going on. Her body seems much more lithe than it used to be. She was never necessarily chunky, but she was like thick and muscular, and she's kept some of the muscle tone but lost the mass. She looks great now. Like, this is the best I think she's ever looked, because I didn't particularly love like the bustier, you know, idiot tits that she used to have. I like that she looks like an athlete now. Her hair looked great. Her, you know, like, I'm not gonna like the world's biggest Charlotte fan, but like, this, whatever she did with her hair on this particular night to keep it as straight as it was, is a really nice look for it, especially the way her face is shaped now. As for the match itself, I don't know why they took the title off Rhea Ripley. Maybe Harry has some insight into that, but I mean, I'm much more interested in talking about Charlotte Flair's body and how it's changed over time than I was about why this feud's going on and why it end and why it's going the way that it did or ended the way that it has, Harry.
Well, I thought the match itself was actually really good.
Yeah,
you could tell some frustration early from Charlotte because of what the crowd was chanting towards her, and I don't know if you caught it, and I don't know if you noticed the black screen or not. We found out why the black screen came up as well.
Okay, so for clarity, before all this happened, earlier in the day, Becky Lynch puts up a tweet on Twitter saying that, you know, hopefully there's a spot open for the Money in the Bank. Who's going to fill the mystery spot, okay? Which prompted everybody to think that Becky Lynch could show up on this show, as per rumor. So, of course, this particular match starts out with a "We want Becky, we want Becky" chant, which was extremely distracting to the competitors, to the point where Charlotte Flair gives the middle finger to the audience. So that was a pretty good start to the match. Go ahead, Harry.
That was not the reason they went to black, though.
No, that was they Peacock. They
went to black because Charlotte threw a crotch chop at the crowd.
You know, if Charlotte puts out, I was telling my wife, I want an Acknowledge Me t-shirt. And she was like, please don't buy the $30 Acknowledge Me t-shirt. I'll just make you one for 10 bucks. I'm like, fine, I don't care. But I'm going to wear it now for every video podcast we do, just to make sure this is Acknowledge Me across my man boobs. But the other, if Charlotte puts out a Suck My Dick t-shirt, I would buy it. I would absolutely buy a Charlotte Suck My Dick t-shirt.
Oh my God.
So somewhere Mattel is pissing themselves at the possibilities. I actually thought the match was really good, though. I really liked the natural selection off of the top. I thought Rhea bumped that perfectly, and it looked very devastating. I like the fact that they went to the well of using the fact that Charlotte had to use the ring steps in order to get the win, because she destroyed Rhea's ankle up against the ring steps before applying the figure eight.
Yeah, no, so I thought the psychology of the match worked well, and I thought, like, I thought taking the title off of Ripley in the way that they did worked. I don't understand the storyline psychology.
Why they did it.
Yeah.
No, and that I agree with, because this is the second marquee loss for Rhea Ripley to Charlotte without an actual victory.
Yeah, right, because she didn't necessarily beat Charlotte the last time. It was the triple threat, if I remember correctly, and she pinned Asuka. All right, so it's just frustrating. You know, I get that I don't quite understand what they're doing with Rhea Ripley. They bring her up, they give her this sort of hero's welcome. She doesn't come across as a very sympathetic baby face. She kind of comes across as a jerky heel, and they put her in, you know, and they put her in with somebody who the crowd hates because she comes across as entitled, or she's presented as entitled. It's just a lot of really bizarre shit with these two. But they put on, you know, but if you're just a purist who's into wrestling, they put on decent wrestling matches. So I guess whatever. Then we had the men's Money in the Bank match featuring Big E, Drew McIntyre, John Morrison, Kevin Owens, Nakamura, Ricochet, Riddle, and Seth Rollins. A couple of things about this, and I'll pass it on to you guys. One, my son had the best insight of this entire match. He was hilarious. He was like, so I'm noticing something. I'm like, what did you notice, Jonas? He was like, so two guys wrestle. Everyone else drinks tea on the outside. They're just hanging. They're just chilling, taking naps, drinking tea. Like every time, like there would be a new, every few minutes, he would kind of look up from what he was doing, or he would jump, get off the trampoline, look at the TV and go, who's drinking tea now? He was, his head canon with this was he was convinced that everyone was just napping and drinking tea on the outside, which I thought was brilliant for a 7-year-old. So there's that. fucking Kevin Owens continues to be the new Mick Foley in that he takes retarded bumps. He's going to end up like hobbling around.
No.
He just takes the most ridiculous bumps. This poor man. Same thing with John Morrison. John Morrison and Kevin Owens after this, man, had to just be like bathing in painkillers. I can't believe the bumps they took here. But last thing, and then I'll shut up and I'll just pass on to you guys. Ricochet was my hero of this match. Like,
good Lord.
Ricochet did some outstanding looking gymnastic spots in this match. Like, he was, to me, he was like the MVP in as far as using the medium in an entertaining way, in a way I hadn't seen before. And because Ricochet in and of himself is such a dynamic gymnastic wrestler, he did some crazy stuff that other guys don't have the balance to pull off. So yay for Ricochet. And that was all he could do in this match, because that's all Ricochet ever does in this company. Last thing, whatever they're doing with Bobby Lashley, at the moment, the guy with the money in the bank is Big E. My wife, who has a personal connection to Big E, couldn't have been happier. And a rough start for his withdrawal from the New Day. A lot of tripping and falling, not a lot of momentum. But I'll tell you, the crowd, I listened to the crowd reaction when he won the thing, and it seemed like my wife was in the consensus. Everyone who was legitimately happy for Big E winning the Money in the Bank, Harry.
Yeah, and honestly, it was either going to be Big E or Riddle because of the storyline that they're going with Riddle and Orton. So I thought it was – I mean, those were the two obvious choices. First, I'm going to completely second your thing about Ricochet, MVP of this match by far, not even close. Mm-hmm. Two, Kevin Owens, Jesus, man, you have a wife and two kids. The fuck is wrong with you?
What are you going to do in this match, Kevin? I'm going to dive over 100-foot diving board into an ordinary drinking glass. Observe. Like, every single match.
Turning into an episode of Looney Tunes. But that's all, folks.
Welcome to the Space Jam.
Jesus. I haven't watched it yet, but I'm planning on it. Anyways, back
soon
to
as
the
we're done
here.
As soon as we're done with this podcast, come here. Welcome to the Slam Jam. On camera. Do it again.
Welcome to the Slam Jam.
Very good. Now get out of here.
I mean, it does make sense. He is wearing the t-shirt. Running by the Junior Rattlage.
That's right.
No, like you said, though, the sheer level of stupidity in the bumps that Owens takes, the absolute dumbassery of the bumps that Ricochet took in this match, because Jesus, why?
John but Morrison, more important, too, though. He's another one that likes to jump into ordinary drinking glasses.
Speaking of which, Jomo's athleticism kind of worked against him here. Did you notice the one spot early against McIntyre that got kind of flubbed and it looked like Jomo legit hurt himself?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Like the attempted corkscrew splash thingamawiggy, whatever the fuck it was, where he like missed and hit his elbow off of the edge of the ladder. I'm guessing that probably sucked.
Yeah, he looked like he legit potatoed himself.
So you talked earlier about the women's match being a little bit pedestrian when it comes to the bumps that were taken inside of it, because there were a couple of big bumps. I remember the power bomb who was it? Liv got thrown onto Zelina when Zelina was laying across the ladder, and like that was the big bump in the women's match. Going back to what I said during the course of that match, the reason the women didn't have all those major bumps and stuff is because the men, all eight men, went balls to the wall during the course of this Money in the. I have a bold statement to make here, and I don't think I'm inaccurate. This may have been the best Money in the Bank men's ladder match ever.
Ooh, I don't know about all of that. There's a couple of the early ones at WrestleMania that I would say were better. I would say of this crew of modern wrestlers, you would be right. I mean, we are talking, 20 years of this stupid match?
Thereabouts.
Yeah. So I would say maybe in the last 10 years, probably. That's probably true. But, you know, the first couple of years where it was a WrestleMania staple and like CM Punk and Kennedy were winning it. No, sir. Go back and watch those again.
Chris Bailey, your thoughts?
I'm going to completely dismiss the Kevin Owens hype. Cannot stand this forced Steve Austin garbage. Stun the world. Get this off my TV. Fat man falling off a ladder doesn't do anything for me. We saw it before. He ain't close to Mick Foley. Get off my screen, fat ass. Next, on to Ricochet. Loved it. Absolutely loved it. There's a spot in this where somebody did a flip to the outside, and then out of nowhere, Ricochet just completely almost bypasses the entire crew. He's flying that hard and that high over that rope. I was absolutely blown away. Really, really good effort there.
Was that the one where he got knocked off of the ladder by Riddle, springboarded into the tope con Hilo?
Sweet Jesus, what was happening there?
That was the best spot of the match. It was amazing.
Ridiculous. And listen, Owens cracked that ladder too. So there was a ladder set up on the barricades outside. Owens took a spot bump from the inside of the ring to the outside and literally cracked that ladder in two pieces. That was a badass bump too. Despite my, begrudging him earlier on. Big E, you know where I thought we were headed with this? I actually thought that I had no question Big E was winning this, to be honest with you. I saw it everywhere online that Big E was taking this thing, so I'm like...
Yeah, that was the rumor that he was going to win this, and he did, and he deserved to win it.
So I thought Kofi was actually going to pull off a quick win, and he was going to cash in on Kofi's ass. That's where I thought we were headed here tonight. But anyway,
the new day,
Big E, yeah. Anyway, it's coming. I'm telling you. Yeah, go ahead.
The New Day have said that they do not want to feud.
I hope that's true.
Why would you do that to one of the few legit baby faces you have? Big E, like, since John Cena is the biggest baby face, pure baby face they have. Like, Big E's the guy you can put on. Honestly, and like, no joke about this, if they would like get behind Big E the way they got behind Roman Reigns a few years ago, Big E would be the biggest star in the company. And and not even because he's like the best wrestler or anything like that. This is a guy that resonates with people. This is a guy that you can put him on. He has so much personality. You can put him on talk shows. And it's so funny because my wife will always bring up the fact that he was such a quiet church kid when he grew up in Tampa. But he, the wiggling hips and everything else that he does, he just oozes charisma and he's so likable. This is a guy that resonates with your average, you know, as Bobby Heenan would say, ham and egger. But your ham and eggers are what's keeping your business afloat because it's not the fucking nerds. I'll tell you that much. The nerds are watching AEW. Like, this is mom and pop and the kids. You know, and it's the only way the WWE survives at this point is if you get the norms to watch. Big E is your norms champion. They need to get behind him 110%. Turning the heel would be the worst thing ever.
Here's what I'm going to tell you, Mark. I hope that Kofi and Xavier don't walk too close to the barbershop window. That's all I'm going to tell you.
If they do that, Chris, I would be ever so pissed.
They are going through that fucker.
No, don't do that to him. He needs to be as pure as the driven snow.
I just hope none of them end up trying to sleep with their stepdaughter.
Moving on. Roman Reigns.
Miss ya, Marty.
Roman Reigns took on Edge for 7 hours.
this day, I see clearly.
I fell asleep a dozen times during this match. This was my long weekend to work, and because I've been up late doing this shit, I haven't been getting a lot of sleep, among other things. So I just couldn't take it anymore, and I kept passing out. And I would wake up, and the match was still going. And I legit at one point thought that I was in the middle of a replay. It went on for so long. I get everyone's obsession with Edge. I get that now he's old man Edge, and we remember when you tried to have sex with Lita on camera, and that you threw yourself off ladders and stuff. And we appreciate you, Edge. Edge does nothing for me. Old man Edge does even less. And this match went too fucking long. And then I wrote, then John Cena comes out in his Oregon Duck shirt, and he runs he talks inaudibly to the camera like you do. He shows his towel like he does, and then he sprints to the ring, and he gets in there and he throws his hat and he grabs his balls and he moonwalks and he bakes a pie, and then he gets in Roman Reigns' face and we fade to black.
Yeah, but I'm going to stop you right there. Listen to this. For the first time that night, the absolute roof came off that place. When that meet me, meet moop hit, I'm telling you right now.
How's that go again?
you want to capture that? Ready? So this is how my kids do it, because it's a meme on YouTube about John Cena. It's meep, 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 moop. Meep, 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 moop. Yeah, there you go. See?
Right, and his name is John Cena. Sorry.
That's right. Man, and literally the place came unglued, and it was the first time since this pandemic that you got that level of pop, and it was earth shaking, and I loved every bit of it.
Look, I'm not against John Cena versus Roman Reigns at Reliant Stadium. I'm not against him showing up at the end of the pay-per-view. I'm against a 30-minute match that ends with John Cena running out and doing nothing. And I understand what the next thing I'm going to hear from one of you guys is, but they're going to show the footage on Raw. Here's what I think of your footage on Raw. I'm at this show, watching this show right now. Do something. Standing there looking longingly into each other's arms, unless you're going to fuck, just do something. Jesus Christ, I'm so tired of wrestling ending with you guys staring at each other.
Stop whining.
Stop whining. Staring at each other.
1,000% disagree with you, Mark, and you know why?
Good. You guys can watch men and women stare at each other longingly.
No, you,
and then nothing.
Here's why. Make them pay for it.
No. Have John Cena come out there, punch Roman Reigns in the face, and run away. And then you can show.
So you make Cena look like a bitch.
I don't care how you do it.
What purpose does that serve?
I don't care what you do. Do something. Staring at each other like this.
It's that boxer showdown. It's that MMA showdown. It's that face-to-face confrontation.
Showdown, they fight each other. That's what happens after a showdown.
They fight, after the showdown. When people have to pay to see it on pay-per-view at SummerSlam. You just made my point.
No, when they do the weigh-ins, I like how this is the most animated we're getting, by the way. Not a single thing we've talked about has gotten us this excited. Roman Reigns and John Cena staring at each other, and we're like ready to fight one another.
we're going to be on the undercard at Reliant Stadium.
So look, with John Cena and Roman Reigns. Oh, with the I lost my train of thought. I'm back now. So when the UFC or boxing has the weigh-ins and they have like the picture where they get the guys up like this, yeah, a lot of times they're like, and then they shake hands and they walk away. But a lot more of those times, they're like getting into sissy shoving matches. They're trying to punch each other. Like, there's more happening to sell. Like, you can't tell me about sales. I know about sales. Chris Bailey knows about sales too, but I know about sales too. Okay. And I understand that you need to hook people into paying for it. But I mean, Mike Tyson threatened to eat Lennox Lewis's children. Okay. You can do shit in those moments.
Agreed. I'm not saying that you needed to not have any kind of like up close and impersonal face-to-face confrontation there, but I think you make them wait for the face. Because if people wanted to watch Roman and Cena fight already, they could go back on the WWE Network on Peacock and watch it. Well, assuming the network works.
Well, then
assuming the network works.
Yeah, we had to change televisions. Run out there and pants him. I don't know. Run out there and be like. Woo! Oh, John Cena.
You legit fucking popped me with that. That was funny.
Just I cannot. The last thing I'm going to say on this, I cannot abide by the do nothing standing across from the ring and then like we'll have to find out on Raw, because here's the thing: the next night on Raw, nothing still happens. Maybe John Cena made a goofy comment. Maybe Roman Reigns said acknowledge me, you know, in his sexy voice. Maybe, but they didn't lay hands on each other. There wasn't an explosion. Yep. They didn't dive into the fucking commentator booth. They didn't
hold on here. They didn't throw
Jim Ross over a horse and do stuff to him. Nothing happened.
Are these the same guys arguing this point that needed a towel when Jay White showed up? Needed a towel to wipe the floor up because of all the cream?
What are you accusing me of?
Excuse you, sir. I'm not an AEW mark, let alone a New Japan mark.
I'm saying there's a double standard. The internet blows the roof off for Jay White, and as soon as Cena comes up, it's like, oh my God, what a shit show this is.
If that's your takeaway, then you didn't hear what my reaction to Jay White coming up, which I almost forgot. B, you didn't. You're not hearing.
You did almost forget.
You're not hearing what I'm saying. I'm saying send everything they did up until the fade out was fine. It was the fade out having nothing else happening is my issue. I'm fine with John Cena coming out. I've given several things John Cena could have done. He could have come out and had sex with Roman Reigns. I'd have watched that. He could have come out and pants Roman Reigns. I'd have watched that. He could have come out and punched Roman Reigns. I'd have watched that. Do come out there and do this shit here.
Can I present a crazy scenario nothing. That would have blew the roof off it? Think about this.
Okay.
What's the one gimmick that they haven't done with the Money in the Bank yet?
What?
Off-air cash-in?
Selling it. Imagine if Big E comes out on the ramp and Cena comes out in full Hollywood Cena mode, uses his Hollywood money, buys the Money in the Bank, and beats Reigns cold turkey a la Hogan Yokozuna.
But why would you do that? That's a heelish thing to do.
I would be fucking pissed.
Yeah. But I'm saying first of all, you racist.
He's gonna buy a poor black man's opportunity at the
goal? Jesus Christ.
Come now.
Nope. No,
you gotta look at Fusion it. Black man is smart enough to profit off this menorah.
Views and opinions of Mark Rattledge do not necessarily the rest by now. You know where you can hear more? You know where you can hear more of those views of Mark Rattledge? I hear you can hear them on Amazon Music, Mark.
You're absolutely right. You can listen to this podcast and all of my suggestions for the wonderful things John Cena could do to Roman Reigns over a horse or a bench press or a desk or anything.
I like Harry how he already works at a jail. This works out.
You can hear all of those things on through the Amazon app. We're there. Our podcast is there. All of the W2M Network stuff is there. And you can get a free 30 days of Amazon Music. You can stream all kinds of bands and songs and albums and whatnot. The link is getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network. That's getamazonmusic.com/W2M Network for a free 30 days of Amazon Music. You stream what you like for 30 days. It's all free. And then you like it, which I know you will. You can keep it. If not, you cancel it. No fuss, no muss, no contracts. It's a great service, though. We use it. We use it on the Metal Hammer of Doom. I just listened to our Fear Factory show. Doing very well. Thank you for everyone that listened to it. It's getting a lot of listens. And we actually use the AmazonMusic.com app to stream a whole bunch of old Fear Factory songs before we got into the new one, Aggression Continuum. So AmazonMusic.com/W2M Network to download to stream at a free 30 days of Amazon Music. All right.
In addition, you can also listen to the newest episodes of the W2M Network's productions, be it A Rattledge in Broadcasting, be it The Kickoff, be it Black Irish, be it any one of a number of other different shows, by saying to your Alexa-enabled device, play W2M Network.
Oh, very yeah. Good.
Thank you, Harry. Perfect. All right, that's it. I think when I've made a dozen jokes with John Cena having sex with men in a row, it's probably time to end the show. That's usually the cue. I mean, I have my standards.
Somehow I don't feel that's your record, though.
You know me so well.
That's hilarious.
All right, so if you've enjoyed this show, and really, why wouldn't you? We'll be back to do more wrestling on... Chris, write this the fuck down.
Oh, stop.
August 2nd at 10 a.m. Monday, August 2nd at 10 a.m.
I didn't nope out. Remember that. I didn't nope out.
You're my hero, Chris Bailey. You always you win in the end, as they say.
I find a way.
You do. You're my hero, Chris Bailey. Charlton hero.
One day I'll tell you the story of some of the places that I've been when I'm doing these things, but that's another story for another day.
We're broadcasting live from a toilet. anyway, speaking of toilets, AEW Dynamite, Fighter Fest, and Fight for the Fallen. I am the king of segues. We will review all three of those events on Monday, August 2nd at 10 a.m. It'll definitely be me and Chris Bailey. It may or may not be Harry Broadhurst. It definitely won't be Chris Sheehan because he fucking hates AEW.
He needs a win.
Stop. Dynamite is doing another show called Homecoming on August 4th. And probably if we can get to it, if Chris Bailey is available and Harry Broadhurst wants to and or is available, we will review that one too on Friday, August 6th. And then, all right, enough already with the special shows, AEW. Calm the fuck down. That Triple Mania show is August 14th. We may or may not be able to review that one. It's certainly not looking like...
I think it'll be on Twitch.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get to that one, but it, you know, we may talk about it in brief on a future show. And then SummerSlam. There he goes. SummerSlam. We will definitely all be back for SummerSlam at 10 a.m. on August 25th. SummerSlam is August 21st, the same night as the Manny Pacquiao Errol Spence fight. Apparently, it's going to be over by the time those two get in the ring if you're looking to do both, like I will be. So, yeah, SummerSlam review August 25th at 10 a.m. The only other thing I'm going to plug, everything else, you know, you check out on the network or on YouTube, wherever you like to listen to shows, it's all fine. But the one thing I am going to talk about real quick, my wife and her buddy, Elizabeth, who we saw Black Widow with a couple weeks ago, did their own review of the movie, but they did it from a like feminist reaction perspective. They, you know, they talked about being moms. They talked about being women and what the movie meant to them. What their impressions of Hollywood reaching out to women look like. It's not what you think. They did a really good job. If it sucked, I would have put it up anyway, but I, you know, I wouldn't be talking about it. I'd be like, my wife did a thing. Go women. But,
oh my
God,
this whole network is just becoming so woke. Oh my
God. Shut up.
I'm kidding. I can't wait to hear it, honestly.
Yeah, they actually did a really outstanding job. A couple of errors in continuity and movie names, but neither one of them are like huge comic book nerds like the rest of us here on this network. They get a pass. If you listen to what they had to say in terms of feminism, in terms of wokeness and, you know, in Hollywood and all of that, I thought they had a lot of really valuable input. So forgive them when they think Age of Ultron and Infinity War are the same movie. That said, Harry Broadhurst, go ahead and do your plugs.
Real quick, I just wanted to throw out something for SummerSlam as well. We might have a takeover, and the rumors are they're going to announce a takeover for Sunday, August 22nd.
Okay, well, if it is, we'll jam it in there. We'll jam it in there hard.
Much like Cena should have done with Reigns, right?
I'm just saying it would have been better than nothing.
Anyways, the kickoff presentation of the W2M Network is available here. Me and Eric Watkins take a trip to the news desk on the most recent episode of the kickoff that is currently available in the archives. Starting August 5th, we begin our 2021-22 football preview with the college football preview. Myself, Eric Watkins, and Jason Teasley. Kennedy Eddings will be back with us for the NFL preview. AFC on the 12th, NFC on August 19th, and then the August 26th episode will be our postseason predictions and our year-end award predictions as well as we head towards week one of the college football season. The BW Sports Report, Broadhurst Watkins Sports Report, where we cover everything, including football, but also giving a shout out to all the other various sports that Eric and I watch, will be launching full time later this year. We do not have a specific start date. We did the soft launch with the alternative commentary to the game between the Jazz and the Clippers. And we will be getting back to that full time a little bit later on this year with the BW Sports Report. The Reaction is currently in hiatus. Tony Acero had a very busy schedule. 411 Mania's Tony Acero. He just started a new job this past Thursday as a manager of a new bar. So I'm going to let Tony kind of get his schedule figured out, and then we'll figure out where we're going with the Reaction. But that is over on the Chairshot Radio Network, which in addition, you can also check out the Chairshot Wrestling Facebook group over on Facebook.com. I'm at HEB the Eagle on pretty much all your social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Yahoo, Gmail, pretty much anything else. And if you have any hate mail to send about my performance tonight, remember, it's s.garmer@gmail.com. Chris Bailey.
You can find me on the Twitter rambling and complaining about Transformers to GoBots fans.
If you don't do the toys trivia, you're fired, by the way. I don't care. I don't care if that's the night you and your wife have relations. You tell her to just calm the fuck down. Read a romance book like my wife does. You'll be along momentarily. Do you and Ronnie Adams need to do the toys trivia coming up soon?
Fair enough. We'll be there. But you can, in the meantime, while he's firing me, you can catch me on the Twitter @Charlton_hero. As well, you can catch me bi-weekly on the Chris and Reggie Network over doing an ElfQuest epic podcast covering the Marvel Comics run of everyone's favorite comic book, ElfQuest. Don't even say a word. Anyway,
That and more. And for the rest of my natural born life, I'm here on the Legend Broadcasting Network, broadcasting from a washroom, car, suitcase, who knows where you'll find me. But I'll definitely be available recording for sure.
Independently reporting on the butt sex that Cena and Reigns are having, according to Mark Radulich.
Right on the money. Mark's getting a wood horse for Christmas.
They could. Why did your friend send you a horse, Mark? Just get in the bedroom, Melissa. And on that, and like we say here on the Rattles and Broadcasting Network, be well, be safe, and get in the bedroom, Melissa.